everyone, my name is Matt and I'm studying pharmacy and am from Monash Parkville. Yeah. I have the pleasure of giving us the Bible reading tonight. This morning. So this morning's reading comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. So I'll just give you guys a moment to get that up. Okay, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all.
Hello everyone, I'm Vanny. I am studying a Bachelor of Secondary Education in University of Newcastle. I'll be reading 2 Timothy 4, chapter 1 to 8 in Cantonese.
我在神面前，并在将来审判活人死人基督耶稣面前，凭着他的显现和他的国度祝福你，务要传道，无论得时不得时，总要专心，并用百般的忍耐各样的教训责备人、警戒人、劝勉人。因为时候要到，人必厌烦纯直的道理，以躲发扬，就随从自己的情欲，增添好些师傅。 并且掩耳不停震动，偏向荒谬的言语。你却要凡事谨慎，忍受苦难，做传道的功夫，尽你的职分。我现在被腰垫，我离世的时候到了。那美好的仗我已经打过了，当跑的道我已经跑尽了，所剩的道我已经守住了。从此以后，有公义的冠冕都为我存留。 就是按着公义审判的主，到了那日要赐给我的，不但赐给我，也赐给凡爱慕他显现的人。
Hello again. Can you hear me okay? You can hear me okay. Hello again. Do you like my shirt?
Yes.
This is a gift from our brothers and sisters in the South Pacific, the region of which we are a part. And I thought I'd just wear it as a little inspiration for next year's NTE merch. Just saying. Could be. And also want to give a special shout out and thanks to all the people who've passed on feedback from last night about the singing and the dancing. It has a special warmth in the preacher's heart when that's pretty well all the feedback they get. So a special thank you to you. I'm just going to get set up for a minute. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Person beside you, what's one thing that stood out in that part of the reading Matt brought to us? Bible's open. One thing that stood out. Your time starts now. Okay. We're back. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, you are worthy to be praised. Lord Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. We pray, Father, all glory to you. We pray that you would show us yourself in your word today and show us how to respond as we leave here into your world to live and speak for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. They say you can tell a lot from a person's final words, and especially when they know they're their last, right? Whether the last to a group, before they move on, you know, perhaps as national director after 23 years of faithfully praying and speaking and serving, you know, if anyone happens to know one of those. Or even perhaps the last in their life. They say you can tell a lot from a person's last words. And some throughout history have been kind of funny. Author, playwright Oscar Wilde reportedly said from his deathbed, "This wallpaper is terrible. One of us will have to go." Turns out he was right. Or comedian Spike Milligan, who really has, had written on his tombstone, "I told you I was sick." He was right too. Others, of course, have been far more inspiring. Those of John Newton, 1807, the once slave trader turned gospel proclaimer, who reportedly said, you know it, "Although my memory's fading, I remember two things clearly, that I am a great sinner and Christ is a great saviour." And I wonder if that's what you could say too, after all the wonderful news we've heard this week. You know, I'll never forget a chat I had with an older man who'd come to my church, a kind of frailer, simpler, a wonderful man, and he spoke to me then of his dad's last words. What were they? Simply this, I've never forgot it. He said to his son, "I'll be waiting for you, son. Right? Just keep trusting Jesus. Keep living for him. And I'll be waiting for you, son." I would say even then as an older man, you could see the impact that had on him. So you can tell a lot from a person's final words, from their last chance to say how they feel, their last chance to say what they want, right? Both for them and for you. And the reason I raise it now is in our almost final NTE words is because as we come to the Bible today, in many ways, that's what we find. Paul's final words, right? At least as recorded in Scripture. Paul's final words, at least in the view of many. And what does he say? What does he want? Well, I want to suggest four things. Four wonderful things to leave this conference with. In light of the gospel we've heard, what are they? Well, they're in your outlines. Do you see them? Proclamation, perseverance, people, and promise. You see, Paul wants Timothy, and God wants us to proclaim this gospel, right? Timely and timeless, persevering in a world that is opposed to it, along with God's people, partnered with them in the promise of Christ's return and his presence with us. Do you see it there? Chapter 4, verse 1. Have a look there, chapter 4, verse 1. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Right, and we'll get to the charge in a moment, but first we'll say, did you feel the build-up? Right, did you hear the drum roll? Do you sense the way that Paul, if you like, presses caps lock, right? What comes next really matters. After all, God himself is watching. Do you see it? And Christ Jesus as well. The one who's appeared in his dying and rising, the one who now rules the King of the Kingdom, the one who'll return as the judge of us all. With them as my witness, I charge you, Paul says, preach the word. Proclaim the message. Share this life-giving news. Or as one campus in Melbourne puts it, and you might have seen this if you were here earlier in the video, be a brave turtle for Jesus. You love that? Right? Stick out your neck with this news. There's a campus in Melbourne where students and staff, they have this thing where what they say is, be a brave turtle for Jesus. Here it is. Stick out your neck for him. Right? Do something scary. Do something brave. Out on your campus to help others here. And here are some of the students there. They're from that campus now doing the little turtle thing with their hand. And I kind of like to imagine they pass each other in the corridors and just do a little secret turtle, give each other a nod as they go. In fact, they even have these little cards, coffee cards, where you get a stamp when you are a brave turtle, inviting, speaking, sharing these news. Although they assure me there's no prize for the stamps, right? You're still saved by grace, not stamps. But do you get the point, right? That's what Paul says here. He's saying, be a brave turtle for Jesus. Stick out your neck for him. Proclaim this word that others might hear. That is my charge to you. And Paul was no fool. He knew what he asked. Both of Timothy here and all who would follow. In fact, so much so, in chapter 1, what had Paul already said? In chapter 1, verse 8, you want to turn there now? Chapter 1, verse 8, as Richard showed us on Monday. Chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. After all, that's the temptation, isn't it? As much as we aspirationally sing, as we should, that's the temptation, isn't it? Right? Away from here, away from each other, back on our campus, back in our homes, it's just so easy to be ashamed. It's just so easy to pull your head in. And Paul says, don't do that. Right. Paul says, be a brave turtle. Or as he puts it again, chapter 2, verse 8, and we saw this already again, but chapter 2, verse 8, have a look with me. Chapter 2, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word, right? That's the word of the gospel. See the way gospel, God's word, being used almost interchangeably here. God's word is not chained. And so don't you try to chain it, he says. Right? Don't you dare withhold it. I charge you, preach this word. Right? At that family event, right? And I speak to myself. Or there in your class with the classmate beside, or sooner still on our NTE missions, I charge you, preach this word, right? Whether in part or in whole, whether a little or a lot. Now, there's another group I know in Melbourne that set themselves a challenge last year. Do you know what you want to know what that challenge was? Sorry, the answer is yes, by the way, you do. Arrive 5 minutes early to class, and don't be on your phone. Next, arrive 5 minutes early to class and start a conversation. Arrive 5 minutes early to class and mention you're a Christian. And then pray and see where it goes. Pray that it leads to this: proclaiming this wonderful news. And by the way, we're all going to get a chance for this very soon, right? When someone says to all of us, "So what'd you do in your break?" International guests, that's Australian for "what did you do in your break?" Or "how was the conference, love?" International guests, that's how our mothers speak to us generally in Australia. Right, and it's worth preparing what you could say for when that question comes. Actually, it's worth even practicing what you'd say together so you're ready when the question comes, so that we proclaim this wonderful news, whether in part or whole, whether a little or lot. And when we do, did you see, we do it with perseverance. Right? In other words, constantly, courageously, patiently. Or as one old famous preacher put it, it was by perseverance that the snail reached the ark. I never even thought about that. You know, two by two, there are the snails inching their way, you know, toward the ark. Maybe the students, when they pass each other now, can just do this to each other. I talk about perseverance. Well, that should be you too, Paul says, when it comes to preaching this word. See it there, chapter 4, verse 2. Be prepared. In season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience, careful instruction. You see, both when it's easy and when it's hard, right? Both in our O weeks and in week 10. Both when the fruit seems so slow to come and when there's stories like these appearing all over the world. Have you seen this from a few weeks ago? This one from the Gospel Coalition website, it's here. In fact, it's here. Gen Z revival hits campuses this fall. Wonderful news from campuses in North America, which is, by the way, matching the news we're hearing from England, which is matching the news we're hearing from France, which is matching the news we're hearing from Russia, which is matching the news we're hearing from here. Brothers and sisters, there's something really wonderful happening in your age and stage. And yet, even as it does, and we pray God keeps it going, we will still need to persevere. Right? And so, be prepared, Paul says. Verse 3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. It's like that social media algorithm, you know, that reinforces what we're like instead of giving what we need, especially when it comes to correction, rebuke. And Paul says that's what people are always like, right? That's our factory setting ever since the fall. And so be prepared, right? Be constant in efforts, whether you feel like it or not. Courageous in truth, saying what God says, and then patient week after week, week after week after week. Now, I've had the privilege these last 6 months of reading a gospel with a wonderful man from Japan. And I want to say most weeks it's been a highlight, right? Most weeks it's been a joy. But I have to admit that there have been weeks where I haven't wanted to do it. Sometimes busyness, sometimes laziness, probably sometimes selfishness. I'm not sure I'm supposed to say this, right, as a new AFS National Director. But there you go, it's out. And do you know what's been really helpful? I mean, really, really helpful to get me there each week? It's this reminder here. To Timothy 4, verse 2. That there is a watching God. And he wants me to do this for him. For the honor of his son. For the good of my friend. Well, once again, as that preacher put it, it was by perseverance, right, that the snail reached the ark. It is by perseverance that the Christian serves their Lord. And so once again, brothers and sisters, I do want to say, be prepared to persevere, right, to keep on praying year after year, to keep turning up week after week, to keep inviting again and again, and to keep on speaking this truth again, 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 whether in part or whole, whether just a little or lot. Because you see, it's proclamation and perseverance. Perseverance in proclamation. And it's both of those with God's people. All right, proclamation, perseverance, and people. See, it's easy, I think, when we read Paul's letters, and I wonder if you, like me, have ever done this, to think that Paul's a one-man band, right, with his gospel drum, cymbaled knees, and feel free to transpose the face of any of your staff workers onto that picture right there. You know, doing it himself. Paul versus the world. But I wonder, did you see that's wrong? According to Paul himself, that's not how the mission is done. Not by him or us. Right? Christianity is not a solo sport. And so neither, God says, is the mission. No, we're meant to do it together. We're meant to help each other, each with a part to play. And I wonder, did you see the way Paul makes that clear with all those names he piles together, all those people he joyfully lists who've all been a part of his gospel team, right, his global gospel team? In fact, let's do it now, an exercise to prove it with a person next to you. Count together those Paul lists as people on his gospel team, right, persevering, partnering with him. And just for you to do, you know, sadly, there are a few who are not. Some names listed, Demas, verse 10, deserted Paul, Alexander, 14, did him great harm, but all around them is a wonderful list, right? I want to ask, how many can you see, right? It's the person beside you, count together all those Paul lists on his gospel team. Your time starts now. Okay, you're in your last seconds. You're only counting. All right, let's do this again. Fitzroy, you can yell out as well. Apparently you yelled out a lot last night, so feel free to yell out again. Okay, anyone got a number? Let's have a number. How many did we have? How many names? 15, 14, 16, 13. It's like an auction, but it's going down. Whoever owns the house is getting sadder and sadder. I give you 2 cents. No, okay. Well, the answer is, actually, I don't know. I didn't bother counting them. But the point is, there's a lot, right? There from verse 10, Crescens, Titus, 11 and 12, Luke and Mark, Tychicus, Carpus, Cloak the Parchments. And there in verse 19, Priscilla, Aquila, onesie Forus. Pretty sure that's how you pronounce his name. You did try a onesie. I'm sure it's onesie. No, Onesiphorus, I'm sure, right, Matt? Erastus, Trophimus, Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia. And then you do notice, right, this is the catch-all, all the brothers and sisters. Right, and you think to yourself, really, Lord? Do we really need this list of names? I'm sure Matt was thinking that as he prepared the reeling. Really, Lord? Did you really? Yeah, you're smiling. This list of names. What's the answer God gives? Yes, we do. We do really need these names. Why? Because so did Paul as well. Right, Paul really needed these people to be in God's mission with him. And brothers and sisters, do you see, so do we as well, both in our churches and campus groups, right? We really need each other. You see, God wrote these names on purpose. So this is what we'd see. And so this is who we'd be. Right? All part of his gospel team, his global gospel team. Right? With different gifts, different ways, playing our part that others might hear and be saved and changed like us. You know, the mission of AFES is, and I really should be able to do this, in prayerful dependence on God, AFES proclaims Jesus Christ at university to present everyone mature in him by building Christian groups, student groups, that evangelize, encourage, train, and send. No, is that right? Okay. There's a strange pressure when you do it in front of people. I don't know what's going on, but do you know who's part of that mission? It's staff like me, so many others, right? Supporting, serving, cheering, praying. It's students like you, so many others, right? On the front line, student to student. And did you know it's others as well who pray for and pay for the mission? And then there's all our IFES family doing the same all over the world, if you like, our very own Pudens and Linus. So feel free to introduce yourself to any of our international guests and just say, hi, Pudens. Hi, Linus. I'm sure they'll say hi back. Claudius, Trophimus, and again, onesie for us. And see, Paul says, yes, that's right. Right? That's how the mission is done. That's how God made it to be. See, we're not meant to be like this. You weren't saved to be like this. Neither is staff or student leader. No, we are in this together. Right? God, in his wisdom, when he saves, he always saves together. And God, in his wisdom, when he sends, he always sends together. And can I say, if that's not a reason to return next year to your campus group even more committed and bringing even more friends with you, then I don't know what is. Because see, this is God's wonderful plan. Proclamation, perseverance, people, and it's all done in the light of his promise, right? The promise of Jesus' return and his present presence with us. You know, one of my all-time favorite quotes says this, life can only be understood backwards, but we have to live it forwards. Right? You can only really understand life, what really matters, what's it's about, when you get to the end, when you explain it from there. And I think Paul agrees, did you see? It's why, did you see, again and again in these last words, right, both to Tim and to us, he takes us to the end. He views his life from there. He lives toward that day. So you see it there in verse 6. Look at verse 6. From already being poured out like a drink offering and the time of my departure is near, I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Or back in verse 1, do you see verse 1? Again, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead? Or there at the end in verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. See, brothers and sisters, life can only be understood backwards, and then we live it forwards. Right? We live our lives, and thoroughly so, between the appearings of Christ. Right? Between appearing one, right? Actually, back in verse 1, where death was destroyed and life brought to light, and appearing two, here in verse 8, where Christ will return and welcome us home. You know, at my very first NTE, the then national director, the one before Richard, yes, there was a national director even before Richard, they said something to us like this. They said, the Christian life should make no sense, right, in the eyes of a watching world, except that Jesus really did rise. Jesus really will return, and we live in between. And that's what frames our life. And so it was for Paul, do you see? And so it should be for us, right? Living within that frame, living toward that day. See, that's why he proclaimed. It's why he persevered. It's why he partnered with all those people. He lived toward that day, right? The promise of Jesus' return. And yet, while he did you notice, he lived it with his Lord. See, here's the thing. It wasn't as if while he waited, Paul was left alone, right? Alone in the fight, alone in the race, alone in the mission, all up to him. No, did you see there in verse 17? That even as no one came to help, the Lord stood by his side. Jesus gave him strength. Jesus was with him even while he waited and longed for his return. You know, when my oldest girl was just 4 years old, and after that family photo last night, this story is now slightly more exposing. So hi there, Emily, somewhere, you know. Once again, forgiveness, permission, here we go. When my oldest girl was just 4 years old, she went through a phase where she really hated being left by her mum, right, there at creche or kinder, and we'd try to leave. And you know what she'd do? She would sob and just basically cling to a leg, you know, and hold on with all her might. Until one day, my wife, her mum, sat her down, and do you know what she said? She said, Emily, sweetheart, it is okay. Right? Mummy always comes back. Do you understand? Mummy always comes back. You know, lady, we were chatting to the kinder helpers, and they reported to us what Am would say if she got knocked over by some rough boy, who later I told her she had to tell them, my dad wants to meet you, but that's a different story. She got knocked over by some rough boy, or maybe if she was just a little sad, and they'd ask if she was okay. Can you guess what she'd say to them? She said, it's okay. Mummy always comes back. She promised. I know she will. My mummy always comes back. Friends, I want to say what was true for mummy is even more so for Jesus. He will keep his promise to us. He is coming back for us. And by his Spirit, he is with us even while we wait and long for that return. And so long we do, right? And live we do. And serve we do. Speak we do, right? Proclaiming, persevering with his people. And his promise, right? Prayerfully depending on him, all for his honor and glory. And I want to say, can you imagine if all of us did? Leaving here, we all did this. Can you imagine the good that God might do? Can you imagine the lives he might graciously change? Can you imagine the growth he might graciously give, both here and all over the world, through this wonderful gospel, anticipated, announced, apostolic, eternal. So as we close, they say you can tell a lot from a person's final words, and especially when they know they're their last. And so, as all of us leave right now on mission, and then we go back to our campus, as some of us leave to go serve the nations, and we send you, Rich and Jeanette, hear again these final words: proclamation, perseverance, people, promise. Or as it says again there in verse 1, here at verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, the wonderful gospel word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you again for the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, for his life, his death, his resurrection, for the salvation we find in him, for the life we now live in him. And we thank you, our Father, for his gospel, for the news of him the world needs to know. And we pray, Heavenly Father, would you please use us that they would. As we work together as a global gospel team, may we proclaim and persevere with your people and your promise. For the glory of Jesus, for the good of your world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.